right on time at 9:10. Representative Grunberg, Representative Miller, Representative Choquette, and Representative Moyer, and myself. Today we're hearing House Bill 37 relating to the investment of the pension fund. House Bill 37 proposes to set up a public corporation to manage the PERS, TERS, judicial, and military retirement system funds. Representative Ballmer has also drafted amendments to include SBS under the Alaska State Pension Corporation and to remove the two-year time limit for integrating the retirement systems into the corporation. The time remaining in the meeting, I intend for the committee to review HB 37 and the drafted amendments and to take action toward moving the bill out of committee. We have two teleconference sites online with us this morning. Merritt Olson, representing the NEA, will be testifying from Anchorage. Mike Andrews, representing PERS from Fairbanks. We also have, I believe, a total of five in Anchorage to testify. But at this time, I'd like to hear from Representative Ballmer to give the committee an overview of House Bill 37. Representative Ballmer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. I will keep my remarks very brief, in part because I think you are all quite familiar with this issue. The members who served in the last legislature know that both the House and Senate passed similar versions of this bill, basically with an intent of trying to make sure that our pension funds are wisely managed and that for the long term we see a significant interest in not only the members, that is the employers, but the employees and their involvement in the decisions about how the investments are made, but also that we remove this very large amount of money from any possibility of political interference. I might indicate for the new members to the legislature that this legislation is not dissimilar from what is done in many other states. I won't go through in great detail about what the other states do, but we have looked at a number of other states, and this idea of setting aside a corporation that has both investment expertise and also fiduciary responsibility to the members is very much the way in which most of the states that have seriously analyzed the investment portfolios of their permanent fund, of their retirement funds, have come to decide is best for management. The amendments that the chairman referenced, just very briefly, I think I'll go through those. The first, which adds SBS to this legislation, during the interim, both Senator Pershaw, who worked on a comparable piece of legislation, the Senate and myself had a number of conversations about whether it should be in or out, and various versions of this has had it in, some have had it out. I guess on balance, I feel more comfortable with it in. Many of the concerns that first gave rise to this legislation, including a lengthy budget and audit review, suggested that SBS should be included, largely because SBS is being managed by the Department of Administration, where there is no resident investment expertise, and there have been significant concerns expressed, particularly with regard to executive life and some of the other GICs that we had entered into, that perhaps that isn't best for the SBS participants. So the first amendment simply includes SBS. The second amendment does do away with the two-year requirement. Actually, it isn't a requirement even in the existing legislation, but it deletes 2 years and simply says when prudent to basically encourage the administration to move in the direction of including benefit administration as well as investment of these funds, but leaves open to the administration to do it at their discretion when it appears that it would make sense to do it as opposed to the two-year suggested recommended period of time. The final amendment deals with the board membership. And I might indicate that of all of the issues that one might spend a lot of time on, this is probably one where you could debate it on both sides and not really come up with the right answer. I think there are many ways of looking at what the best board membership is. This particular amendment would include a TRS retired member and a TRS active member. It would include a PERS active and a PERS retired, and it adds an SBS member, as we are adding. less as opposed to more, but in an effort to include those folks whose assets are going to be managed by this corporation, it did make sense to add the SBS member. And so with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to either answer questions now or sit and listen to the testimony. I do plan to stay and answer any questions at the end.
Thank you, Representative Ballmer. One thing that maybe you could address right off the bat, there has been some discussion of including some other funds that are out there into this. I believe there's a couple other small funds that may be there that some people have said they should be included in this also. Would you address that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's important to keep this primarily a retirement-focused piece of legislation. The testimony that we heard from individuals, both those in the permanent fund here in Alaska and investment advisors from outside, make a pretty compelling argument that you need to manage a fund for a specific purpose. You have to have a goal, and the retirement funds do have a different goal than other funds do, funds that require more ready cash, for example. So I guess my feeling is that from what I have learned, and I don't pretend to be an expert, but from the experts I've listened to, I've been persuaded that I think you should keep it the retirement and SBS funds. Now, there will be a pool of investment advising expertise here. The Investment Advisory Council that serves as advisors to this board are certainly folks that, you know, their expertise could be used to help whatever other fund managers want to tap into that pool of knowledge. So there may be some sharing of expertise that would make sense. But in terms of the fiduciary responsibility, I would say keep the focus narrow. Thank you.
Committee, any questions to Representative Ballmer at this time? Not, maybe she could come off to the side here, and we'll hear from the commissioner. Representative Bruberg.
I think it's important to state for the background that nobody on this committee has ever sat on the committee before. I don't think most of us have any experience at all, very little with pensions. And just speaking personally, I was not an expert on that bill when it passed. So I hope that neither the sponsor nor the other witnesses will, at this point, assume too high a degree of expertise, at least on the part of this representative. My question specifically is whether his EPOR is under this. And the other question, and I'm just really reviewing this for the first time, I see that it's exempted from the Administrative Procedures Act. I'm wondering whether there are any provisions of that. I assume you're mainly talking about the rulemaking provisions of the APA that will not apply to the board. I'm wondering why it's exempted.
Mr. Chairman, first of all, it does cover all of the retirement funds. So it's PERS, TERS, the judicial, the retirement, et cetera. Okay? So it is all of the retirement funds. And secondly, with regard to the Administrative Procedures Act, I guess I'll allow the commissioner and other department representatives to speak in more detail. But the nature of this business is really investment, the wise investment of the pension funds. And the kinds of things that the Administrative Procedures Act does are really in a very different frame of reference, either with regard to, I don't see this group, for example, promulgating any regulations. I don't see them acquiring things in the way that the Administrative Procedures Act pertains to it. Maybe we could have a lengthier discussion about that later. There may be certain provisions of it that hadn't occurred to me that might be relevant, in which case we can take a look at that.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, yeah, just a couple of other things, too. I see that this exempts the board from other normal state statutes, too, such as the procurement code, the general state statutes that, that cover open meetings or whatever it is, and I see that they don't cover my open meetings. I think that there should be good reasons for exempting people from the coverage of general state policies, and I just thought I'd point that out.
Maybe we could hear from the commissioner next, and we'll probably, I'm sure, have a lot more questions. Commissioner Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to just read into the record and then comment on what is contained in a publication known as the General Investment Policies of the Department of Revenue Treasury Division. Under the commissioner's responsibility, they talk, the words are that the commissioner is solely responsible for the investment policies and the realized investment results on the entirety of each of the funds. They talk in terms of the responsibility is amplified and limited by both laws and practical considerations. They go into the prudent man rule, and then they go further and talk in terms of a higher and more demanding standard of care required of a professional institutional investor managing large investments under a trust relationship. These words caught my attention several years ago. This is not something that is fresh to me as the new commissioner of revenue. I was concerned at that time and remain concerned that this onerous responsibility has been on the sole shoulders of the commissioner, and for that reason totally embrace the concept of removing that, placing it under a corporation with a proper board and with the proper expertise of outside experts, internal management, whatever it may be. I have known all of the commissioners of revenue, I believe, since statehood, and I am unaware, including myself as a CPA, of anybody who has ever been trained professionally or experienced professionally that really should have this onerous responsibility. And I think we've got a couple of examples in our past that we don't have to dig up necessarily, but examples of some problems that occurred that perhaps with this type of a situation, corporation and a proper board, they wouldn't have occurred, and our people in Hearst, Church, etc. would have been better served. You asked a question a little while ago, Mr. Chairman, that I may have interpreted a little differently than Representative Ulmer did. I believe at the present time, the Department of Revenue Treasury is handling not only the Hearst and Church monies, but also the Judicial Retirement Trust and the Military Retirement Trust, and that may be what the genesis of the question was there. Whether those go on through with this proposed legislation, SB 10 or HB 37, I have not read them thoroughly enough. Those are very small funds, and similar to other small funds, they suffer if they have to be invested solely by themselves. They would be better off if they could be brought into the whole and pooled. Was that, did I interpret that correctly?
Commissioner, I believe both of those funds are included in this bill. I guess I was thinking more of the, I think there's a deferred payment fund that someone manages out there that, and there may be some others I was thinking of that aren't included.
Correct. Deferred compensation is not included.
I also was made aware just by receiving the package here approximately a half hour ago, and have not, of course, had the opportunity to read the amendments to HB 37. After hearing Representative Ulmer's explanations on those, I certainly have no problem with them. I certainly want to preserve the opportunity to read them and understand them a little more thoroughly. As to the companion legislation that I have had the opportunity to read in more depth, SB 10, I think the position of the Department of Revenue will be that we see some mechanical problems there that we wish to communicate. Those mechanical problems deal with the makeup of the advisory people that are coming on board, some of the requirements of their expertise, just how the structures are put together, and I'd like a better opportunity to address that. As you're probably aware, I've been operating with out my own deputy commissioner in numerous other alligators snapping at me, and so I have not put the entire amount of time to this that I would like to. I'd be happy to try and answer any questions.
Are there any questions for the commissioner? All right, Commissioner. Well, thank you very much for taking the time to come and see us, and I think with the timeline that we have right now, we won't be moving the bill out of here today. I think you'll have some more time here, and of course we'll go on to judiciary. Just go to judiciary or finance.
Yes,
and finance. So you do have some more time here.
Look forward to working on it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The pleasure of the committee. I thought what we might do is hear the teleconference people so that they can all be heard. In Anchorage, we have Dr. Olson. Is he available?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, very well, sir. Would you please state your name and address for the record?
For the record, my name is Merritt Olson. I'm the state president of NEA Alaska Retired. I served for approximately 14 years on the Teacher Retirement System Board. Since my service in that board ended just this past year, I have been quite involved in the early stages of the discussions between Revenue Division and the board concerning the establishment of an independent investment board to manage the pension funds. And that interest and concern continues on my part. I'm speaking for NEA Alaska, an organization which represents active and retired teachers who are part of the teacher retirement system and educational support personnel, both active and retired, who are members of the public employees retirement system. So we are concerned about these two large retirement systems that constitute most of the funds in the pension. NEA Alaska does support the concept of an independent corporation to manage the investment of the state pension funds. We believe the pension funds should be insulated from politics and political pressures that might exist. We also believe that investment in the pension funds should not be under the control of a single individual, as is the case now, but rather under a board. We hope that this bill will be successful and that any changes that need to be made can be done in a speedy manner. I'm pleased to hear that changes that we recommended when the hearings were held for SB 18 have been incorporated. NEA Alaska has taken the position that inasmuch as PERS and TERS constitute about 95% of all of the funds, that each of these systems should have two members each on the board, an active and retired. And with the changes in House Bill 37, as Representative Ulmer has mentioned, that seems to meet that need. And I presume that Senate Bill 18 or the any substitute will reflect that change too. None of the original bills were not satisfactory. Certainly address. Another area that I think is a bit contradictory, the board members for the independent corporation are to be either nominated by a petition of 10 members or to be nominated by the two administrative boards that now function, TRS and PERS. If we are to integrate at some later date the administration of benefits into the corporation, then that part of the legislation would be moved. And so it may be that you would want to change that to simply have all candidates for the elected positions nominated by petition rather than by the board, since that would have to be changed, and it could be in only 2 years at a time. One other suggestion that I would make is that the law specifically indicates that public employees elect the public employee members to the board, and that the teacher representatives be elected by their constituency as well as SVS. I think members are going to be confronted with a dilemma if they have to choose from a long list of members, and that has been the experience for the elected PERS members, many, many candidates running. It seems to me that public employees could best choose their representatives, teachers could best choose theirs. So I think the legislation should be more specific there. In summary, we do think that there is a need for initiating the or insulating the pension fund investment process from the political arena. An independent corporation with elected board members would tend to accomplish that. Since you have addressed some of our other chief concerns, I am quite supportive of this bill, and I believe that NELS will be too. I would like to thank the committee, and especially Representative Kabina and his staff, for contacting us to let us know about the hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Olson. Is there any questions from the committee? All right, next we have Pat Wellington.
Just a moment, we're getting Mr. Wellington.
He'll be right here.
Yes, this is Pat Wellington. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Would you please state your name and address for the record?
Yes, my name is Pat Wellington, and I live in Anchorage. I'm a member of the Public Employees Retirement Board, one of the two elected members, and currently I'm serving as chairman. I've been on the board for approximately 13 years. Basically, the Public Employees Retirement Board does endorse the concept of the legislation, and for the most part feel that the legislation covers the issues of our concern. Similar to Dr. Olson, we were concerned about the having the administration of the program incorporated in this bill, and it would appear as if the sponsor's amendments would cover that area of concern that we have. Additionally, the Public Employees Retirement Board has been concerned about the makeup of the board. We feel because a considerable amount of the money invested in the program actually comes from the members, both PERS and TERS, that there should be designated seats on the board for PERS and TERS members. And again, I appreciate the fact that the sponsor has recognized that and is offering two delegated seats to PERS and TERS. I guess I have a comment, and I'm not sure if it needs an answer at this time. I'm a little bit confused only because I haven't looked at it that close and was only aware of it today. The necessity to have an SVS member on the board, it would be my recollection that all of the people involved in PERS are probably involved in SVS also, and I don't know why there would need to be a separate member, but I'm sure that the legislation. We have worked with Senator Pershaw on a number of occasions with his legislation. We would hope that the that this session of the legislature would address this issue and basically support the concept of House Bill currently before you. I'd be more than happy at this time to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Wellington. Representative Greenberg.
Yes, this is for not only Mr. Wellington, but also Dr. Olson. Each of you has mentioned several specific issues and has, in some cases, endorsed at least one of the sponsors' proposed amendments. In other cases, you have proposed your own amendments. This is a technical bill, and it would be helpful, at least to me, if you have written comments specifically on the language changes you'd like to see, if you could get those faxed up to us so we can really see what you're talking about. That's just a general request, Mr. Chairman. And secondly, you both mentioned a problem that's in the legislation, and that is the provision that is found on page 2, line 16, that the governor may remove an elected or appointed trustee for just cause. And I think we've all seen some problems in the last week or two that are potentially arising in other boards and commissions with respect to this. This is a problem that is not just limited to this particular board. And I think that your comments are comments that go beyond this particular piece of legislation. And I think that that's an issue that the committee might consider, because it has far-reaching ramifications. The questions that come to my mind in a logical manner are, what do you mean in a legal sense by just cause? Number two, how has that been interpreted? Number three, what other boards, commissions, and department and political appointees are laboring under that type of statutory language? What is the procedure when that occurs? The cost to the individual you mentioned, Mr. Wellington, a minute ago, and that's an issue that's very timely, and it's certainly not limited simply to this proposed board, but it's found throughout state statutes, and maybe this committee can take a look at that, because that's a very important issue, and it's very timely.
Thank you, Representative Gutmeyer. I had made some notes on my own bill on exactly that same session. Did you have a comment, Representative Allman?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just very briefly, Pat, thank you for your testimony. With regard to the SBS membership, as the bill is drafted now, the board, the employee or employer from PERS would not have to be a state employee. There are many political subdivisions, municipalities that participate in the PERS system who are not members of the SBS system. So SBS really is only for state employees. The PERS can be for municipal employees as well. So the idea there would be that with PERS, either employee or employer representative, it could be, for example, the municipality of Anchorage, and it could be an employee of the municipality of Seward. And so there really wouldn't be an SBS representative on the board under those circumstances, and that was the rationale for adding a specific SBS member. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much. That clears it up for me. I think you're absolutely correct. And basically what you're saying is that with the SBS member being on there, that would guarantee that it would be somebody from the state system.
Representative Shilkett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good morning, Pat. If not the governor, who would you suggest to police the board?
I probably don't have any problem with the governor doing it, but I think the language, as Representative Groenberg said, is a little ambiguous in what is just cause, and I don't think you're going to find a layperson who absolutely receives little or no remuneration from this is probably going to take the time to challenge the governor. So basically what we're going to end up with, I think, Representative Shokin, is a situation where we have a governor's board and people who are in political tune with whoever the governor may be. And I think that's where we're trying to get away from. I think there are ways to remove people from the board, but this legislation even gives the governor the authority to remove the elected people. people, the very people who are elected by those who are on the system, such as yourself and other legislators, the governor could remove those people for just cause. And what's just cause? I think Representative Gruberg hit it on the head. So I'm not saying have a solution to this, but I think that we're stepping on very dangerous ground here and may not be accomplishing what we think we are accomplishing with a very fine bill and then giving it, you know, the control to the governor.
Nothing further. Thank you.
Representative Gruberg.
Just to follow up on that last point, I would like to suggest, this is getting a little afield, but it's simply is the point that both of you witnesses have made, Dr. Olson and Mr. Wellington, about this just cause. I don't know that that's defined anywhere in statute. If it's not, I think it ought to be. I think we should consider, this committee should consider the introduction of a bill or maybe the amendment of the ethics bill or something to define just cause and to provide the board appointees with certain due process rights. If they are threatened with removal, I don't care what party the current administration at the time would be, a means not only of providing a procedure, but making it either an administrative type procedure or an affordable procedure, so that the citizen who's not only given up his or her time to serve on the board and the loss of income, but isn't faced with a terrific legal bill simply to protect their good name and the integrity of that board or commission. And this is something that goes a lot beyond this bill, but it's really important, I think.
Representative Gruberg, we're really running short on time. What I'd like to do is if we have three other people in Anchorage, if we could get very, very brief comments from as many as we could. We're obviously going to run out of time, and I plan on rescheduling this for Wednesday to try to have some answers. I did want to give a fax number while you're on the air. There's 465-2287. If you do have specific amendments, please send them to that fax number. Is Marie McKenzie there?
So we have leaves.
All right, Roxy McDowell.
I'm Roxy McDowell. I'm a retired teacher, and I live in Anchorage, and I was presently serving on the Tourist Board of Directors. And I'd like to pretty much reaffirm what both Pat and Mary have said, and our support of having definitive seats for members of both PERS and TERS on the board, and for the adjustments made on how those people could be removed. Also, the removal of the required integration of the administration of the benefits into the investment board in 2 years and making that on a time uncertain. There's only one other item that I wish to address, and that is I have a question on the liability section. Currently, there's a constitutional amendment that guarantees the funds, the benefits, if something should happen to the state that guarantees them. So I'm looking on page 6 under liability, and I wonder if that statement doesn't bring, is it the opinion of the committee that would remove the constitutional guarantee for benefits being in effect if that change were made to an independent corporation? And I don't know how that would work.
Representative Ulmer.
Thank you very much. That issue was apparently raised over on the Senate side with the companion bill at a hearing, and I believe an opinion has been requested from our legal services to clarify whether or not that might need to be changed. Clearly, the constitutional protection stands regardless of this piece of legislation or any other. The Constitution is the Constitution. However, we don't want to, with this language in any way, raise any doubts in anyone's minds about what's intended. That certainly is not intended to be in any way contradictory or conflicting with what the protections are in the Constitution. Once we get something from legal services to clarify that point, I'll make it available not only to the committee, but to anyone else who would like a copy. Thank you.
Good, and we'll make sure we have a copy of that hopefully at our next hearing. Was there anything else
testify to. Is there any questions?
Any questions from the committee? All right, thank you, Roxy. If I could get Marilyn Scott real briefly so that we can get her in also.
My name is Marilyn Scott. I live in Anchorage. I am a member of the TRS retirement system. I am also state director for the American Association of Retired Persons that has approximately 30,000 members in the state of Alaska, many of whom are members of PERS and TERS and the other retirement systems that are covered by this bill. So we do have a very active interest. I'm also speaking for Marie McKenzie, who was required to leave. Marie is chairman of the AARP State Legislative Committee, which is the body that makes the decisions for AARP in Alaska with regard to legislation. And they have already identified one of their support items for 1991 to be support legislation to provide separate management of public pension funds. So we are in agreement with the purpose of House Bill 37 and its companion bill in the Senate to that extent. However, the details are being watched very closely. The AARP SLC meeting will have a meeting in Juneau in the early part of February, and will be taking further action with regards to support of these bills. In addition, I am also speaking for the Central Alaska Retired Teachers Association here, and as their legislative chair, and I would like to add that for them, the changes that have been made by Representative Ulmer that we've heard about this morning are very pleasing. That is the kind of change that we have been requesting and have supported through an Anchorage Area Forum on Aging just this past week. I am also wish to go on record in support of the concerns expressed by Dr. Olson and by Mr. Wellington and by Roxy McDonough that we look very carefully at removing this corporation as far as possible from the influence of politics. That is the way we have all gotten very much interested in it, and we want to be sure that that happens, both in the appointment of members of the board. We do believe that a majority should be elected by beneficiaries of the system, in one way, either active or retired. And that seems to have been taken care of by Representative Ulmer's changes. Also, we need to pay very careful attention to how these members may be removed. And thank you for your time.
Thank you, Dr. Scott. We're really out of time. We have to go to the floor session in just a few minutes, but so I would like to go to Fairbanks. Mr. Andrews, Mike Andrews, are you there?
Yes, I am, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the committee taking the time to review this bill. I'll make it real short. The PERS Board Chair, Pat Wellington, covered a lot of the ground, and I appreciate the fact that Pat could be there. And I'd just like to go on record as saying that the PERS Board does support this type of legislation, and we are concerned about the non-political aspects of the board members, even though you know, the governor should have the opportunity to appoint some of the members. I had expressed the other day at a teleconference on the companion bill in the Senate side, Senate Bill 18, why I felt and perhaps why the permanent fund board felt that it wasn't a good idea to have the funds mixed into one investment corporation. And when I see where the administration has changed the members of the permanent fund board, it really drives home the point on this pension corporation board, because this money is held in trust for the participants, and we have created a bargain with our civil service workers and our citizens that we will give them a good benefit package.
apologize to Mr. Burgess. We do not have time for you today, but I know you'll be around. We will hold this bill over until Wednesday. I would encourage all of you in Anchorage and Fairbanks to please submit any specific testimony or changes or amendments through the fax number 465-2287. There's nothing else.